This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion, Annabelle Thomas. Annabelle brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
I'm your host, Annabelle Thomas. And today, sitting in my hot seat is someone I've really been looking forward to chatting with, Jana Moore. Jana is a global chief information security officer at Belron and the co-founder and board member of Power Women, a nonprofit that supports women in information security. Jana, welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you. It's great to see you again.
Yes. I'm so thrilled for you to be on the show today. And there are so many angles about you and your career and what you're doing that I want to explore, from your leadership in cybersecurity to your passion for advocacy and mentorship. So let's dive right in. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your journey in cybersecurity? What got you to becoming a global CISO? And what were some of those pivotal moments and lessons you learned along the way?
Yeah, so when I think back over the last three decades, it was really a matter of, learning IT, getting into all the domains of IT, which was a passion I didn't know that I had. And then when I made the switch over to security, it was such a natural next step for me, because now I knew how to support and build IT. Now it's time to learn how to secure it. And that's where I could really provide a lot of value, because I had that well-rounded view of technology. And at that time, security wasn't called cybersecurity. It was just sort of a thing that was bolted onto IT. And so, again, going back to taking risks and not being afraid to step into the unknown, that's kind of how I would characterize my career. And what led me to get to this point was that I was never afraid, or I didn't shy away from the next challenge, even if I wasn't the absolute expert in it at the time. I knew that I could learn it. I knew that I had the drive and the aptitude to get there. And so what I saw happening was I would take these leaps of faith, I would take on the new challenge, I would learn the environment, and then I would naturally kind of progress into a leadership role over that area. And that was kind of, I saw that happening over and over again throughout my career. And so I think once I got into cyber and I really uncovered my passion, I think that's where my career really took off. Because now I had that skill set of not only being a technologist, but also being able to talk to the business and merge the two together. And I think stepping into leadership roles in cyber, especially over the last 10, 15 years, bringing the business closer to your cyber strategy is so important, to know where the business is heading, how to secure it, how to enable it, and so on. So I think for me, it was that combination of technology plus business acumen that really led me to become a CISO today.
Right. And I know you touched on a little bit of how you started in IT and how that has kind of merged together with some of the other skills you learned now. But how has some of your previous roles, your previous work experience, helped shape your current leadership style for cybersecurity at that executive level? And how are you seeing that CISO role evolve throughout the years?
Yeah, good question. I think for me, it's a lot of creativity. Not always having all the answers and being curious and being able to kind of see the bigger picture, assess what capabilities that we have internally, and then organize them in a way that meets the business where they are. And so what I mean by that is, I think over the years, you will never have the budget that you need to get your job done. That's just a fact. There's always that tension, right, between keeping the lights on, bringing new capabilities to the business, getting in front of the threats as they are, developing in the threat landscape. You're never going to have enough resources to do it all. And so I think growing up in IT and learning how to be creative with what you have is a super important skill set, so that you don't let artificial barriers get in the way of progress, and that you still kind of push on through and persevere and create some sort of value creation back to the business. So I think learning that early in my career and not letting that stop progress has helped me today in my leadership style, in keeping that creativity alive with my teams, when I'm trying to solution something with my business counterparts. It's okay, let's just kind of think of the bigger picture. What do we have at our disposal? What can I repurpose? How could I maybe a brick in, brick out type methodology so I can maybe swap out capabilities to meet the needs? So I think it's really important to keep that creative mind and think outside the box. I know that's kind of an overused term, but it really is true of, the business looks at us in this role as the expert in this field. And so really, they need us to be there with them, solutioning and coming up with those creative alternatives. So I think that's kind of why how it's helped me in my career today as a leader and shaped how I lead. Of course, people, the other side of leading is leading groups of people, leading initiatives. Being able to see the potential in your teams is really important. So you hire skill set, you hire drive, you hire kind of that personality to come into your team and to help propel your program forward. So I think over the years, being in a variety of leadership roles and learning how to see the potential in your team and then give them those opportunities to really grow and expand and getting out of their way so that they can go do what they're here to do, right? And not let me be a barrier to their progress. And I think I learned that early on in my career. So now I'm a big proponent of I'll set the strategic direction, but then I hired these people for a reason. So let them go do their jobs. This is what they're here to do for me. So I think those are a couple of areas that I've used through the years and now repurposed in this role to really allow my teams to flourish and the program to flourish. Shaping the CISO role today, I think has changed a lot. I think and it depends on the company that you work for. It could be a CISO here is not a CISO there, so they're not all created equal. So whatever the company needs from a CISO at the time, it's really important for us to pay attention to that and not think that we can come in with our own personal agendas and have it be exactly what the company requires. So I think being flexible in your style, being flexible to meet the business with what they need. Sometimes a business needs a very technical CISO to come in and really do that tactical, strategic alignment and implementation. Others need more of a kind of a visionary CISO to come in and say, okay, what's next? How do we take our company through this digital transformation and give our customers what they need? And then what is the CISO doing to enable that vision? So I think it really depends on what the business strategy is. And that's what we need to be aware of as a CISO in this role, because it is becoming such an important role in the senior leadership ranks, communicating to the board, ensuring that we're meeting regulations, et cetera, and so on.
Right. Now, I know one of the key things you mentioned there is how important having the right people on your team is to making sure those get done. Now, I'd love to take that and kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about Empower Women of InfoSec. I know you're a co-founder, a current board member, but can you tell us a little bit about that organization? What inspired it, the creation of it? What is its core initiatives, and what is the impact that you're seeing so far?
Yeah, no, I love talking about this because I think that we've done a really nice job over the last 5 so years paying attention to where we need to move the needle. And for me, Empower Women of InfoSec was one of those things. We started this back in 2019. There was a group of us, about 7 or 8 of us, that got together and said, you know what? We see a lot of great things happening from a networking perspective in our communities. We serve the Midwest right now in the United States. And so we saw a lot of really awesome women's groups that were being put together around cyber, and it was giving them access to mentoring opportunities, to education, things like that. And but what we were hearing was there's this little bit of an undercurrent of women who were saying, I love cyber. I want to get into cyber. I know this is what I want to do, but it's expensive. It is really expensive to go get that knowledge and to get the certifications and to really take that leap, that next step in my career. So we specifically said our core mission is we're going to help fund those things. We don't want to do the same thing that all these awesome, women's groups were already doing. We want to provide the funding source. And so we went in with that mindset to say, Empower Women of InfoSec is going to be focused 100% on raising money through, a couple of events a year, whether it's silent auctions or a gala event. We have our annual gala that happens every fall. It's coming up this year on October 17th. And we'll have a silent auction that night that drives a lot of funding that comes in from industry leaders, from companies, from our partners, our vendors in the space. And we have so much support over these since 2019 through today, even through COVID. We were able to continue to drum up that interest to get the awareness raised. And we are now giving out 10, 15, 20 scholarships a year to women to go and get that certification, to go back to college, to take those courses, whether it's leadership or technical advancement. And we're making a difference now. So these women, now we're having them come back to the gala event and get up and speak on their experience, talk about what they've done, how this has helped them. And it really is meaningful over these years now to kind of create that nest egg, award a few scholarships in the first few years, and now we're handing out, between 10 and 20 a year. It's amazing. And so we're making an impact. And so now what we're seeing is, while we're the Midwest, we're serving the Midwest, we're having people reach out to say, well, can you serve another region in the United States? How do we expand this? Can we invite you to our events and kind of give you that airtime? So we're trying to figure out how to expand our presence, but right now we're doing really great things. So I'm really proud of what we're doing there.
Yes, that's awesome to hear, especially how much it has impacted those you've been able to, and that it's continuing to grow year after year. That's awesome. And I know mentorship is something you clearly care about. It's something that I see is just radiant from you, and you're always looking to help others around you. How do you approach mentoring others, especially in the cybersecurity space, and what advice would you have for those who are trying to start out in the field?
It's such a great question, and there are some really good kind of behaviors that I'm seeing come out of high school and into college, and the programs that are being made available to the next generation who's coming out, as compared to decades ago when we were all coming out. There's been such a huge advancement in those programs that are giving more of a formal education, or at least exposing younger, the younger generation to what cyber is. And so one of the things that I've spent time doing over the last 10 years is advising those programs in colleges to make sure that the curriculum is actually practical knowledge that once they graduate with their degree, they can apply it immediately. And it's less about that theory. It's more of the what can you do once you get into a role, and what does it look like? So I would highly encourage those college, folks to look for those internships through the summer. There are some really good paid internships that are out there now, and some very large organizations where you're going to get that exposure to what it looks like to be in a cyber role once you graduate. So I would say absolutely do the internship programs if you can. Also, don't be afraid to go to those networking events, mixers, even if you're a little bit shy at first, go to one, right? And just start meeting people and start talking about, hey, one day I think I want to do cyber. I don't know what that looks like, but what do you do? And just start asking questions. People love to talk about their experience. And when you get in those networking scenarios, just one question can really generate a huge amount of knowledge that can come back to you. So just push yourself to get out there and start meeting some new people in the networking events. There's plenty to choose from. Go to conferences, expose yourself to the community where you live. But then once you do get into the working world, I mean, mentorship, there's so much value that can come out of having that casual encounter or that casual relationship in the workplace. It doesn't have to be this formal, will you be my mentor thing. And I think that's what kind of creates some anxiety about finding a mentor. It can just be a casual relationship at work, just to say, hey, how'd you get your start? Would you change anything? What's changed since you started here to today? What could I learn from that? Just those basic questions, you can learn so much. So don't be afraid to reach out and make those casual relationships happen. So I think when I was growing up through my early years, mentoring wasn't as prominent as it is today. And so really, even though I wouldn't say I had formal mentors, I had plenty of mentors at my disposal. They just weren't called that at the time. So, don't overlook the value that you can have out of those casual relationships.
Right. I love that. Like mentorship and the networking piece that you mentioned of going out, putting that yourself out there, just starting that conversation, I think is such a powerful, powerful thing for anyone's career if they're interested in cybersecurity. So I love that. Jana, this has been such a great conversation. Before we end, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
We're all passionate about what we do in this field. It's not for the faint of heart. I mean, let's be honest, cybersecurity, there's a lot going on, especially, in the last couple of years, with the advancements of AI, and in the next 5 or so years, with quantum computing on the horizon. I think that it's a fast-paced environment. If you have that kind of interest in getting into cybersecurity, don't let anything get in your way. Don't be afraid to take that leap of faith, take risks, put yourself out there. You never know what it's going to evolve into. And even though my career was not this grand plan, I would not change one thing about it. And that I'm really living my dream job, at this point in my career. And I don't know many people who can say that. So just go for it. Don't be afraid and grow your community. We need that community around us to keep us going.
I love that. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Jana Moore, Global Chief Information Security Officer at Belron and the board member of Empower Women of InfoSec. Be sure to check out their event October 17th. You can check out them and learn more about their organization, the work they're doing at empower-infosec.org. Thank you again, Jana, for joining me in the hot seat today.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion and my good friend.